You're listening to Cold OD Messianic Congregation's weekly podcast. Our services are every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. For more information, like us on Facebook or visit our website at coldod.org.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, Romans 1:7. It's a good way to start out a message. Grace and peace. I trust that you're 4th of July, your Independence Day celebrations were wonderful and action-filled and noisy. It's one of the essential parts of 4th of July is to make noise. I hope it was as noisy as possible. My neighborhood sounded like a war zone well into the evening. Actually, more than one day. I think it's still going on. I do want to make a brief comment about Numbers chapter 16, which is part of the parasha, and Korach and his rebellion. The lesson is, don't rebel. Don't be rebellious to God-appointed authority. Don't be jealous or envious of someone else's status or the role God has given them. I mean, his accusation and their accusation to Moses was, then why do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of Adonai? You know, that's a problem. And so, they didn't want to submit to authority. They were thinking of the flesh and status. They weren't thinking about what it means to have responsibility before the Lord for other people. Today I'm going to talk about Adonai, the God of Israel, and I have good news for you. I have really, really good news about the Lord. The God of Israel lives and rules the universe. Od Avinu Chai. Our Father still lives. He is not just a slogan on our money. He is not an abstraction. He is not a mythical figure. He is not a philosophical concept. No, our Father, who art in heaven, lives. And I declare this at the beginning of this message, because if we do not embrace this one theological doctrine, if you will, everything I say after this doesn't matter. So if you're hearing the sound of my voice, and you're listening to this message, and you don't know whether there is a God who lives, whose spirit is amongst us right now, then you should get that straightened out first. I'll give you a moment. Remember Psalm 18:47. Adonai lives. And blessed be my rock, exalted be God my salvation. And Jeremiah 10:10. But Adonai Elohim is truth. He is the living God and eternal King. At his wrath, the earth quakes and the nations cannot endure his indignation. So we should begin with this principle first. Adonai lives. And now for the rest of the message. So let us seek out who the Lord is and who we are in him, which constitutes, as our brother Rob Harvey has taught us, the basis of our identity. We have to start with identity first right after we acknowledge that the Lord lives. When we have our identity rooted in the Lord, then following him becomes an impulse within our souls that demands our intentional obedience, and we won't get hung up on our own insecurities. I'm going to say that again. When we have our identity rooted in the Lord, instead of something else. Then following him becomes an impulse within our souls that demands our intentional obedience, and we won't get hung up on our own insecurities. And from obedience comes the fruit or fruits of a life with God, righteousness and justice, which shape not only the individual, but society. And righteousness and justice lead to reformation, not just among ourselves, but of nations and people groups and whole societies. So this message might have some big ideas in it, as you may have noticed, only because the Lord is big and his grand vision is big and he sees the big picture, and so this message has a big picture aspect to it. And throughout this message, there is sort of a refrain, a call, if you will, a call for us to be examined by the Lord and to examine ourselves. It is not enough that we sit and listen and then go about our business. That's not why you come to a Shabbat service. Nope. Let us make changes, both big and small, because the Lord lives. Psalm 139, 23 and 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Examine me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any offensive way within me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So let's talk about identity. Our identity is in the Messiah, first and foremost. Our identity is in the Messiah, first and foremost. Does not Paul or Shaul the Apostle declare to the Galatians, quote, "It is no longer I who live, but Messiah lives" where? "In me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by trusting in Ben Elohim, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." There cannot be a substitute for our identity in the Messiah. Each of us is a unique creation, created in the image of God. There's a dignity that comes from the Lord, our Creator. We are validated by the Lord. We are vindicated by his grace. He loves us. The Lord loves you. Can we just stop for a moment and soak that in? The Lord loves you. The Lord loves you. He loves you this morning or this afternoon in deeply. God's love cannot be measured. Remember 1 John 4, 8, God is love. But before that, John writes, quote, "See how glorious a love of the Father has given us, that we should be called God's children, and so we are." Identity. And then he writes, "Loved ones, now we are God's children, and it has not been revealed that we will be, but we do know that when it's revealed, we shall be like him because we will see him just as he is." 1 John 3, 1 through 2. So let us not allow something else to replace our identity in Messiah as our primary identity. The identity marker in our lives that takes precedence over every other identity marker must be that we are God's children, that we are followers of the Messiah. There are a lot of other identity markers. There's your cultural background. There's your gender. There's race. There's ethnicity. There's national origin. There's even, in this highly politicized environment, your political identity. That last one seems to be way, way more important for some people than it should. And with the election a year away, it's only going to get worse. Of that list, it's the least important in the grand scheme of things, I would argue. But we give it a lot of weight in our lives. In fact, I think millions of people, even Bible-believing followers of Messiah, are trapped, even entangled in some sort of toxic identity politics. Usually that term only refers to those on the liberal or progressive side of the political fight, if you will. But it equally applies to the conservative side as well. Political ideology should never take precedence or influence one's identity as a follower of the Messiah. It should always be the other way around. Should I say that again? Political ideology should never take precedence or influence one's identity as a follower of the Messiah. Now, this might come as a shock to some of us, but I'm going to say it anyways because I think it needs to be said. Conservative politics or conservatism as a political ideology does not necessarily agree or is compatible with the scriptures or what is biblical. If that's earth-shattering, that's fine. I'm going to say it again. Conservative politics or conservatism as a political ideology does not necessarily agree or is compatible with the scriptures or what is biblical. And that's true for all political ideologies. Both conservative and progressive and everything in between, they're man-made. All of them. Sometimes there is overlap between a political ideology and what the scriptures teach. Sometimes there is none, and people try to make a connection anyways, and that's where it really gets bad. Political ideologies are man-made, but we make, and they've developed over decades, or centuries even. They have been a powerful force in history for good at times, and also for ill, a lot of times. I'm not saying politics isn't important or we shouldn't pay attention to it. We should. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if our identities become wrapped up in political ideology at the expense of our identity in the Messiah,